Guess what day it is.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
611, hi. I'm Steve, how are you? In the Steve Cochran Show All-Time Top 10, it's Cool in the Gang at number 7. Chicago Bears are going to play football this weekend. That might be a stretch. Could you go over the injury list for me one more time, Dave?
What time is the show over?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. I think I can get this in. Okay.
How many guys are done? Just Lamar Houston?
Lamar Houston's the only one.
Is he the guy that did the sack dance last year in a 40, or 2 years ago in the 40-0 game? Mm-hmm. And he blew out his ACL?
Mm-hmm.
This is the second ACL, same knee?
This is left knee. I'm trying to remember if that one was or not. But it means another long rehab for him either way.
He seems like a nice guy.
He was the Bears sack leader last year, so that's a tough deal.
Yeah. They're not good.
They got some
really
issues.
Not good
They're
at
not
all.
Good. So he's out. Eddie Goldman, promising nose tackle, got carted off the other night. He's expected to be out about a month.
And what's up with Cutler's thumb?
Cutler's thumb is said to be a sprain that does not need surgery.
Well, that's good news.
But he's still got to be able to grip the football.
Mm-hmm.
So I would imagine he'll be a question mark for Sunday, but I think most people would be kind of surprised. But remember last year he hurt his hamstring and they say he'd be out like 4 weeks and he missed one game.
Yeah.
So you never know.
Could we maybe show him some film of the great Chicago Bear quarterback, old Nine Fingers McGillicuddy? I think we all remember his work.
Was he right before Sid Luckman?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, right before. How about extra Stickum? I guess that wouldn't help with passing.
Yeah, that's not a good idea because then as you go into your delivery, the ball sticks there.
It's a great fake out.
Yeah.
So the Bears are a mess, and we have other good news on the losing end, and that is the United States World Cup hockey team lost.
Yeah, but yes, they
did. I'd be saying, why is this good news? Well, that means Patrick Kane comes back and he's not injured.
Correct, although they've got one more game.
Oh, boy.
They have to play the Czech Republic in a consolation game tomorrow.
I think Kane comes home now.
I think they'd like him to come home. And I think, you know, he's taking a lot of heat. A lot of people are pointing, and when you're the league MVP, this happens. People are pointing at him saying, well, he didn't produce in these two games.
I don't care about the World Cup of Hockey. Right. I care about the National Hockey League season.
Well, I think we said it yesterday. This isn't the cup you want to win.
I know. You want Stan's
the
Cup.
One. Yeah.
I'd like to see Team Canada eliminated as well because we got a lot of guys on that team.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. So my hope is, and I don't ask for much, is that Team Canada goes out quickly in the next. They got two left?
Well, they're in the semis.
So they got another one. They're going to have to play two more games.
Yeah.
Win or lose.
Yes.
Oh, boy. Hold on to something and just cross your fingers and cross whatever else you might cross in your life because we want these guys back healthy for training camp, which opens on Saturday.
Yeah, actually, the Blackhawks will be reporting. I think the non-World Cup guys will be showing up beginning tomorrow. So, and they start on Friday.
Speaking of tomorrow, we are live at the Allstate Hometown Voices Tour. Can you guys give me a plug sheet on that? I don't see one in front of me, and you know me. It could be in front of me, but I don't see it. And also on Saturday, we're going to be live at Governor's State Saturday night for a big stand-up comedy show. Rocky Laporte will be live in studio later, which will be great. And John DeCosta is here. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning.
All right, so let's get the plug in for this show. It's you and me and Pat McGann.
Pat McGann.
Couple of Letterman shots, yep. Very funny guy. A lot of people know Pat. A lot of people on the South Side that Pat owes money to. You guys know him?
Yes. Owes us money.
And Rocky from Report. Last Comic Standing.
And who is doing the Tonight Show on Friday night.
Yeah.
So it's Jimmy Fallon.
It's going to be a very funny show. I guarantee this show will be funny.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
So Saturday night, 7 o'clock. How do I get tickets?
You can go online to centertickets.net, or you can call the box office directly at 708-235-2222. Governor State, and it's just south of I-80 and free parking, easy to get to. Metro goes right there. It's all good.
I was surprised. We got a lot of tickets left for this show, which surprised me.
Very surprised.
But that's good news because everybody can get in. at least for now.
Right.
But the fact is, for the folks on the south side who have said, how can we never come down here and do a show? Well, we're coming down here to do a show.
Yeah. And we haven't been there but a long time.
No, it's been years.
Yeah. So
come on out and see some funny.
Yes. Have a blast. Just yeah. And come out and meet us. Talk to us.
Yeah. Be our friend. Walk us to our car.
Right. The veterans discount. The veterans discount.
Veterans discount, yes. Teachers discounts.
Yes.
Governor's state doing all sorts of discounts.
Yes.
Governor's discounts, former governors get a
former
discount.
Former governors get
senior
in.
Citizens?
Senior citizens yes. Do get a discount.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
You get a discount. I get a discount. All God's children get a discount.
Tomorrow we're live in Schaumburg at the next stop of the WJN Radio Hometown Voices Tour presented by Allstate. We're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio right now, so we're going to go to another event with an Allstate name on it, and that's the Hometown Voices Tour. Live broadcast at the Trickster Art Gallery in Schaumburg tomorrow from 6 to 10 a.m. What is a Trickster Art Gallery? Well, it's Illinois' only Native American-owned and operated art museum. Some very cool stuff there. You can enjoy Lou Malnati's pizza at 6 o'clock in the morning. How great is that? And we have chances to win tickets to the sold-out 2016 Chicago Blackhawks Training Camp Festival and a bunch more going on as well. Is Savard coming for that?
He is. He's going to be there about 8:30.
Good. We love Denny.
And Jackie, you know, our marketing Jackie.
Jackie Paulus, yeah.
She also got us 2 4-packs of preseason tickets to give away for the Blackhawk game.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. So, listen, you want to get to a game and you go, I can never get tickets? Well, you can get tickets from us tomorrow.
But you got to come.
Yeah, you got to come out. Must be present to win. I just made that part up. The WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour is presented by Allstate, Chicago's own good hands. And to tell you what we'll do, Sandberg, give callers 7 and 8 that want to come out Saturday night a pair of tickets. But you got to come out Saturday night because that's when the show is. Saturday night, 7 o'clock at Governor State University. We'll give away 2 pair of tickets right now, 312-981-7200. Caller 7, caller 8. You want in for free on me? All I'm asking you to do is tell a few friends about the show. Maybe bring a few friends and mock them that they're paying and your tickets for free. Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Baby face. You know, if there's any job market for disc jockey, I could go back tomorrow. I'd be fired by Friday, but I could go back tomorrow. What you got? Baby face. I can't tell how old baby face is. What do you think? 55? My age? 50? Got to be 50.
I don't think so. Wait a minute. Sure doesn't look it.
Before we get to Mary Vandeveld's Dancing with the Stars review and Babyface advances last night so a restless nation can breathe easy, who are the winners of the tickets for Saturday Night Show, Sandberg?
Mike Sadler and Ronald Santani, and he specifically said he doesn't want to be added to any kind of mailing list, John, so...
Really?
He was hesitant to give me his email address.
Really? Yeah, because that's odd, because that's one of the things we always do. We always sell our information to other people for mailing lists.
Where does he live? I'll be by his house.
I'd like to know his seat number, because he's going to be the first guy that gets audience heckled Saturday night. No, thank you for your interest and for coming to the show. We hope we'll see you all Saturday night.
Mike Sadler's hoping his wife is going to let him go, but he's pretty sure she will. So.
Why can't he bring his wife?
He's got to talk her into it, he said, so...
Wow, really enthusiastic audience. That's great.
I led with Rocky Laporte's going to be there, so.
Well, that's great, too. Yeah, you get Steve for free every day. Why would you come out? Well, Rocky's going to be there. We'll play a couple clips of Rocky coming up, too. And again, he's on the Tonight Show on Friday night, 6:25. All right, Mary, so Dancing with the Stars, big two-hour situation last night.
2 hours, or Babyface 57, by the way.
Oh, well, guess who was right then, huh?
Yes, you were. Yeah. And he doesn't look it at all. He looks fantastic. And by the way, it was 4 hours this week.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's 2 hours
Monday
the night before.
Tuesday. I mean, come on. You know, this is too much for the second week.
Let me go
but
to
there's
your...
There's 13 people in it.
Let me go to Subconscious Mary, your other Mary Vandeveld. Mary Vandeveld, what did you think of the show last night?
I mean, we couldn't even have dinner around time. I mean, I'm sitting there with Steve. I said, keep it in the oven. We still got more to go here. And I'm sitting there, and I'm telling Aaron Andrews, hurry it up. I mean, this is unbelievable.
Screaming at the thing. That's subconscious Mary. All right.
Erin Andrews is really getting annoying, by the way.
Conscious Mary.
She kind of looks like a bird, and I just...
A bird?
Yeah, it's weird. It's like an ostrich thing going...
Boy, Mary sounds like she's confused.
I have to agree with myself.
Yes. All right, so what do you think of the show?
Well, besides it being too long, I mean, last night was a little ridiculous that they had to go another 2 hours. They recapped every single dance, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, of course, the gymnast, Lori Hernandez, was fantastic. You know, she's going to be good every single night.
I saw a little bit of the show, and I love the part where she goes, ever since I was a kid.
Yeah, ever since I was a kid, Everyone I wanted... Kid.
She's like nine now.
I had two dreams, to be a gymnast and be on Dancing with the Stars. She's 16.
That's her total two dreams.
Yeah, so, yeah, that was crazy. Of course, we had Marsha, who was much better last night, but give it up with Florence. She's got to have her mommy with her all the time. Oh, so Florence was there afterwards. She had to come up
camera
and
time.
kissy. I'm like,
what about Governor Rick Perry?
He was still a little stiff. He danced to Green Acres. Oh, my.
Is he still hooting and hollering?
Well, he was last night with his rhinestone pitchfork he was carrying around. And Emma, his dancer, looked a lot like Ava Gabor. Yeah.
Okay. Ryan Lochte, anybody beat him up last night?
Lochte, no. There was no situation, which everybody was kind of, I think there was a lot of security. He was dressed up like...
I was kind of hoping for one again.
Yeah, he was dressed up like a green Muppet.
Why were they doing the Muppets?
It was TV theme night, so they all danced to a TV theme. Okay. So it was the Muppet Show TV theme, which I even forgot there was one. The Muppet Show thing, you know, which he thought it made him very happy.
Okay, good.
Which was good for we really needed to see him happy.
Yeah,
he had such an upsetting first week. Well, stressful. That's how
I felt. You know who was good, stressful. And I didn't know he'd be good. It was Vanilla Ice, right? Wasn't Vanilla Ice good?
Vanilla Ice last night was not as good. He danced to the Married with Children theme, which was...
How do you dance to that?
Well, Love and Marriage, that one.
Yeah, but how do you dance to that?
You can dance to that. Yeah, okay. Love and Marriage, you know, little foxtrot.
So, okay,
action.
What about Mary Lou Henner?
Mary Lou was good.
You know, she's 64.
Yeah, and she...
I mean, she's older than Dave.
She used to dance, so, you know, she was pretty good. She did a foxtrot. Oh, that was bad. Now I take it back. She danced to the Taxi theme. Do you remember the Taxi theme?
How do you dance to the Taxi theme?
It's like
theme.
A little... Like a flute thing at the beginning. It's just a bad
theme.
No.
How do you dance to that?
I don't know, but, well, Derek is the best choreographer on the show. He had an extremely tough time trying to choreograph that song.
By the way, that is the Taxi theme. Na, 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 na,
yeah,
na,
I don't know
na.
If you can find the Taxi, but it's
that's
just...
It. Na, 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 na. That's it. That's it.
Yeah, and then it ends, and they kind of fades out.
Yeah.
No big boom ending. She did okay. They did have a boot last night, so somebody got booted.
Oh, we have that final call in just a second.
Yes.
But before you get to that, you mentioned Lori Hernandez. You mentioned Mary Lou Henner. Who am I missing?
Let's see. We had, Kenny Babyface was very good.
Babyface, yeah. By the way, it's Kenneth. Kenneth Babyface Edmonds.
Oh, Miss Amber Rose. Amber Rose is the model with the
giant boobs,
big
giant
booty.
Butt.
Yes, yeah. Extremely. She actually tripped last night on a curtain.
On her boobs?
Well, no. I think Derek's doing that.
Yeah.
She did trip on the curtain, and she stumbled a little bit. She was wearing these really cloddy boots, like she danced a Game of Thrones, which is a great theme. I mean, it's you've heard it.
Who's
I'm
her
sure.
partner?
Derek Huff, the best dancer, choreographer guy. Besides Max, of course. So, yeah, she had a rough time with the boots.
How about the little person? What's her name?
Jolie, yes. She did great. Tara. Tara Jolie. She did fantastic.
Good. That's great.
So I have a chance because I have her in the pool.
Oh, we have her in the pool. Yeah, she is actually in like second or third place right now.
Yes.
All right. She's and
very take that, Grzanich.
And Erin Andrews. Erin Andrews was annoying.
She's annoying. I don't know what
and
it
Tom,
is about her.
Tom is annoying.
No, Tom's fine. Tom's hilarious. Okay. I love Tom.
I don't know about hilarious, might be a stretch.
Well, he's fun. She tried to walk and talk at the same time last night, reading the cue cards. She couldn't do it. And she actually called herself on it, too.
Well, TV people, they do have a difficult
gig.
Yeah,
think she'd practice that a little bit?
All right, here's the final call from last night's Dancing with the Stars. Roll it.
Cue the scary music if you got There you go. Jake and Jenna. Ryan and Cheryl, the first couple to leave us this season is... Jake and Jenna.
Did Ryan Lochte know he was still on the show?
He was scared. Yeah, he was just kind of bewildered last night that he was in the bottom two. But I think he'll be fine. Jake T. Austin was terrible. He's a kid. No one even knows what he does. I don't even know what.
Oh,
show.
What about the hot little the hot on? Little country singer,
Jada Kramer? She did great.
Okay.
Yeah, she'll be fine. She's got legs that are unbelievably long and flexible.
Yeah, Rester is not bad either.
Yeah, Jake T. Yeah, he kind of needed to go, but so did Governor Perry. But he's still in it.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. A little Dancing with the Stars update, and we'll come back with a big story next. Stand by for that on 720 WGN.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
Karen Conti standing by. Lots of legal news to get to this morning. And legal unrest in Charlotte and Tulsa over a couple of police shootings. The news networks, again, tripping over themselves to try to incite riots. I'll just say what I always say at times like this. Regardless of what you think you see on video, sitting in your chair at your house doesn't make you a witness. Having an internet connection doesn't make you an expert. You don't know because you weren't there. Both of the cops in this case could be guilty. Both of them could be racist. Both of them could end up going to jail. And both of them maybe should. Or both of them could be completely innocent. You don't know. Justice needs to run its course. And for everybody online last night, who were blowing up over this with the, we got a terrorist who they took alive. Please, for 10 seconds, read beyond the headlines. The reason the terrorist was taken alive is because when the terrorist pulled the gun and shot the cop and the cop stumbled backwards, he fired shots at the terrorist and the terrorist walked away. He shot him again. He happened to not kill him. He wasn't taken alive because the cop said, hey, just like a TV show, I'll shoot him in the ankle. He shot him to stop him. And in this case, the terrorist survived. There wasn't an active choice made, terrorist over black people in Tulsa and Charlotte. It's just, I don't know. Every dirty cop needs to go to jail. And every black person who gets shot isn't innocent. That's what we know. It's 6:43, and let's get to Karen Conti here. And Karen, if I'm telling you, Karen, if I'm the voice of reason, we have a problem.
It's very low standard, Steve. Very low standard.
Good news is we don't have any politics we need to discuss for a few minutes, even though there's plenty of it as there is every day. But we got a lot of legal to get to. So let's jump to it first with this Wells Fargo case. You got the CEO, the big boss, the head honcho at Wells Fargo, just getting torn apart by Senator Elizabeth Warren yesterday. The backstory on this is a bunch of fake accounts were created to meet sales numbers at Wells Fargo. I mean, is somebody going to get prosecuted here?
You know, I think they will. Interestingly, you can prosecute a company. Back in the days of, remember Arthur Anderson was doing all that shredding some years ago. They set a precedent that you can, in fact, prosecute a company, and you can fine them criminally and ban them from doing business in certain regards. But I do think some individuals might be prosecuted here just because of the magnitude of this. I mean, listen, when a bank sets standards for its employees, you have to sell this many, you have to have this many new open accounts, they know that there's going to be some bad conduct that results. And tell me they didn't know this. I mean, 5,000 employees were doing the same thing. They were creating fake accounts. It's something I've never even heard of in that sort of magnitude. I mean, you hear it like when two or three employees are doing it. But there was such a culture there of acceptance and encouragement and maybe even coercion to do these terrible things to consumers. I think someone's going to go down, and I don't think it's going to be a hard sell for the prosecutors to do it.
CEOs since the 2007-2008 crash have been forced by new laws to sign documents of responsibility for their company's fiduciary actions. Would any of that apply here?
Probably. And again, that's going to be important. But what's really going to be important is how did people not know? How did people in management not know that their underlings were creating these false documents and false accounts? And frankly, how did the consumers not speak up sooner? I mean, I think a lot of them did complain that all of a sudden I have an account that I never had before. I'm being charged fees for things that I never even signed up for. But how in the world did this not get to the top much more quickly? I know it's a big company. I know they do billions of dollars of business, but Don't you think you would know that this was going on? I do think that it's not going to be that complicated. I think it's going to be they knew or should have known. They had a fiduciary duty, and they set a precedent and an environment there to cultivate that.
Yeah, and I would guess the first thing you're going to see is after a period of time, this CEO stepping aside. But that won't put an end to it because it's too big a case. Moving on, enemy combatants. I mentioned the terrorist in New Jersey and New York. An enemy combatant is something that became a designation after 9/11, and the rights of an enemy combatant are different than the rights of a standard accused individual. So let's start with the basics here. What are your Miranda rights?
Well, your Miranda rights are you have to be read, the Miranda rights, which say that you have a right to remain silent, you have a right to have an attorney, et cetera, and you have a right to have an attorney. And when you're an enemy combatant, which is kind of an interesting phrase because Obama doesn't really use that term anymore and doesn't really use that designation as much as, say, George Bush did. But basically, it's a person who is against our country in an enemy state in an armed conflict. But basically, what we're talking about is someone who is a terrorist or has been connected to a terrorist group through funding or through direction or through training. So in this case, this guy, the bomber, is really, we don't know yet if he has been funded or actually trained by Al-Qaeda or ISIS or any of these other organizations. So we're not sure if he's going to be an enemy combatant yet.
And if he is, then you don't have to give him the right to remain silent and you can squeeze him for more information. Is that the deal?
You can, absolutely, and then you try him in a military tribunal, which is a little bit less rigorous than our civilian tribunals. So there's, you don't get a jury, you don't get double jeopardy protection, you don't get an appeal. So it's a whole different world when you're an enemy combatant. Again, the government can use another tool, which is what we call the public safety exception, which means that if the government feels that this guy is tied to people who are going to be doing other bombings, which I can see that they could reach that conclusion, they can question him without Miranda and without an attorney and use what he says as evidence anyway. So we can get around even, labeling him as an enemy combatant if we say, hey, we think this is an exigent circumstances. We think this is something that's an emergency, and I bet they're doing it right this very minute.
That leads to segment two, where I didn't promise no politics because it spills over into comments that Trump made, which need to be addressed. Also Chris Christie and Bridgegate, which not only is not over, it's now on trial. We'll get to that after traffic. Karen Conti rejoins me now at 6:54. All right, now, I have joked about this in the past, and, Karen, you know this, because as a defense attorney, you hear this all the time. It's like, well, if somebody's guilty, can't we just speed this up? Can't we just fast-track them? Isn't there an express lane? I would like that to be the case. But we have legal precedents in this country that need to be followed, the constitutional rights that need to be adhered to, because if we start violating those and stop using the justice system in the manner in which it was designed, then why would we have one at all? And it could be applied to you or me next. That's the problem we have, right?
Well, right. And I understand when people say it. I hear it all the time on the L and on the streets. I hear it and I understand why people say it. But when you're running for president, and again, I don't want to get political here, you have a higher duty. You have to say the right thing, not the thing that panders to what people think, when they're having a beer and they're talking to their buddies. Of course, we have a constitution. And because we're angry at someone who bombs us, some loser who's disenfranchised with the world and decides to put together a bomb to hurt people because he's such an idiot. We're going to change all of our rules, all of our laws, the hundreds of years of constitutional human rights that we are blessed with for this guy? Even say that is ridiculous. And it does it pander to people? Yes. I think it's very dangerous, though.
When you have the person who is one of two that in all likelihood will be the next president of the United States saying we need to dispense with rights that are constitutionally guaranteed, that should frighten people.
And let me tell you this, when the prosecution decides you did it, and it's the federal government prosecuting you with all of their might and all of their money and all of their power and their jury and all the things that they have, you're going to be guilty and you're going to go away. And this guy is either going to get the death penalty or he's going to Florence, Colorado, and he's going to sit in a little sell about 5x5 for the rest of his life without seeing another human being. And he's going away. So I'm not concerned about that, you know.
No.
But I am concerned about constitutional rights being used to do the right thing and to prosecute people and put them away. And it's worked for hundreds of years, and it's going to continue to work.
And as much as I, share the very human emotion and instinct that we saw the guy dragging a backpack on video with a bomb in it, the bomb goes off and nearly 30 people are injured, one still in critical condition. Obviously, he's guilty. We should celebrate the fact that we're going through the process to administer justice to this creep, because that's what this country is based on.
Absolutely. It works. Contrary to what you read in the newspaper, and you do see aberrations, you see people who walk, maybe you think OJ is guilty and he walks, and mistakes get made, and jurors don't do the right thing, and sometimes prosecutors aren't good at what they do, whatever. But those are the exceptions to the rule. The system works, it's fair, and it's going to work in this case, I guarantee you.
Chris Christie is an accomplished politician, and I always thought he was a smart guy. And then Bridgegate comes up, and he's acting like he's shooting a scene in The Sopranos. He claimed he knew nothing. The prosecution in Bridgegate, and for those of you that don't remember, this is a bridge problem and a bridge that led to from Manhattan to a small town in Jersey, where there was a problem between Christie and the mayor of this small town. I don't remember the specifics of the issue between the two of them, but they had an issue. And somebody on Christie's staff suggested payback would be to jam traffic to get into his small town, which was on the other side of the bridge. They tied up traffic for a couple of hours. There were, you know, questions on whether ambulances were able to get sick people to hospitals in time, and unnecessary pain and suffering and aggravation. There was a couple of people in Christie's administration that were fired over this. Christie claimed he knew nothing, but the prosecutors in this Bridgegate civil case, or is it criminal? I think it's civil, isn't it?
It's criminal.
Oh, it's criminal. All right, so the prosecutor in this case says Christie knew what was going on. So my question to you is, well, if the prosecutor believes that, why hasn't he been indicted?
Very interesting. There's a couple different options. I think the most viable option is what they're going to do. They've got one guy who pled guilty already, and they've got two people who are on trial right now. Let's say they get those convictions, which, you know, when prosecutors prosecute, they usually get the conviction because they know they have the evidence. They probably have emails, and they've got testimony, and they've got all the stuff. So then what happens? Then, guess what? They might turn on Christie, and they might prosecute Christie, and these guys are going to get a better jail sentence or a better deal now, because they're going to say, yes, he knew about it. Yes, I told him. Yes, maybe he didn't come up with it. Maybe he did. But certainly he nodded his head and said, that sounds like a great idea, implicitly or explicitly. That would be my guess, because if he's the one who's in charge of everyone, yes, his aides are also personally responsible because they took that action. But if the head guy knew about it, I don't understand why the prosecutor wouldn't prosecute him.
So more to come here. All right, quickly, give me your address. Give me your email or your phone number or your Social Security number. How do we get a hold of you?
Oh, you can call me at 312-332-7800 or kconti@kcontilaw.com.
Karen Conti, great as always.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Woo!
Woo!
Ow!
Love that money!
$7:15, traffic in just a second. First, let me say hi to my friend Elise Glink, thinkglink.com. All right, so the Fed, are they going to raise interest rates today?
I got to tell you, I think there's almost no chance that they will, especially with what's been happening this week.
I would tend to agree with you, and obviously mine's more of a guess because I don't know anything. But I look to you for stuff like this, and why would they at this point?
Well, let's just sort of run down my little list that I jotted down before we got on the air. So Japan, they announced a commitment to easing, so keeping interest rates basically at zero until inflation exceeds 2%. That alone is like a deal breaker. Like, when has inflation exceeded 2% in Japan? Like, maybe not in 15 years.
Right.
Number two, how much of the world's debt do you think is now negative interest rates? I was shocked when I saw this number. It's jumped up a lot since June. That's your hint.
I don't know. 10%?
$13 trillion.
Oh, you were giving me an actual number. $13 trillion. Okay.
And that's up from $10 trillion in June. So negative interest rates all over the world. Switzerland, basically all their sovereign debt is negative yielding. Germany, Japan, France, that's another reason. Wells Fargo, really?
Not a great week for Wells Fargo.
Not a great week for Wells Fargo. I'm just, you know, not. I don't even know what to say. I mean, the guy's going to go, I don't know what's going to happen to that guy. But, and then new construction yesterday. This surprised on the downside. So we've there's this fiction in the real estate world that if we just had enough houses to sell, more people would be buying. Well, you can't force people to sell the houses they live in, but you can build new houses, right? So build lots of new houses and everybody will buy. But what happened was, permits fell 2.3%, below the August estimates. Housing starts were down 6% from the month ahead, down to 722,000. And I want to point out that housing starts should be, you know, like well over a million. So we're still at a rate that anybody else would call a depression.
So all this comes back to the same thing. You raise interest rates now, and then we become a list of the problem. We join the problem list. We don't join the solution list.
Yeah, I don't, you know, the whole idea behind raising rates is that, you know, the economy is steady and this and that. The only reason I can see that the Fed would want to raise interest rates, oh, and we didn't even talk about the presidential election cycle. It's getting really, really freaky out
but
there.
But don't you think it would be hard to even fold that into this now because it makes no sense whatsoever? And since it makes no sense, how would you include it?
Yeah, I can't imagine that this what the reason would be other than, oh, the economy is strengthening. To do it today. The only thing I could see them doing it is in December after the election is decided.
Right.
So they're not going to do it the week before the election, which I think is the next time they actually have this meeting. Or maybe this is the last time before the election. And then the next time would be December. And December I could see before the new year. What they're worried about is we're going to fall into recession next year. Maybe not a deep one, but maybe we'll start to fall back. And so then they'd have an ability to lower interest rates again back to zero if they raise it up 0.25%. That's kind of the thinking going on here.
This is why people want to get rid of the Fed.
I'm not sure it would make it any better because then you'd have people like Wells Fargo out there. I don't know.
Play that clip of Elizabeth Warren pounding on the CEO in a second. We'll come back with more of Elise Glink, too, in a second.
You kept your job. You kept your multi-million dollar bonuses, and you went on television to blame thousands of $12 an hour employees who were just trying to meet cross-sell quotas that made you rich. This is about accountability. You should resign. You should give back the money that you took while this scam was going on, and you should be criminally investigated by both the Department of Justice and the Securities and Exchange Commission.
The only person that hates Wall Street more than Bernie is Elizabeth Warren. That's Elizabeth Warren beating up on the maybe soon-to-be ex-boss at Wells Fargo. I don't think you want to cross Elizabeth Warren, Elise Glink.
Oh, no. I've met her, and I got to tell you, she is incredibly impressive and brilliant.
And angry.
She's the kind of brilliant on her worst day that I wish I was on my very best day.
I want to take Bernie and Elizabeth Warren aside, though, and go, show me where the rich person hurt you. Because they're both very angry at Wall Street. Angry. And by the way, with reason. I'm not mocking this Wells Fargo thing. This is a hot mess.
Yeah, this is inconceivable. And I got to say, when I saw that the head of the business unit, I forgot her name, retired with $185 million, I thought, I hope that's a misprint. Because if that was really true, I just want to cry. That is the same amount as the fine that Wells Fargo is paying over this mess.
It's absolutely ridiculous. All right, so we don't think the Fed is going to raise rates. We'll know later on today. We know that we've got economic problems here and there. I really don't want to get into the Trump and Hillary mess because there's plenty to talk about later with that. And I don't want you on the record saying something you'll regret. That's my job. but you do have something coming up I want to mention, this UNICEF thing. What is this?
So for the last 6 years, UNICEF's Chicago Midwest region has been honoring some of Chicago's most amazing people who donate time and money to make the lives of family and children just so much better, both here and around the world. It's called the Chicago Humanitarian Awards, and this Friday is our sixth luncheon, and we're honoring some people from Chicago who I just think are really amazing people.
Yeah, Dr. Gary Slutkin's Cure Violence effort, attacking the problem of gun violence, which is an amazing story, right?
It is. You know, this is a guy who's a professor of epidemiology and international health at the University of Illinois at Chicago, and got it in his head one day that if you could attack the problem of gun violence, which, honestly, we are ground zero for that in the city right now, but if you could attack the problem the way you attack infectious disease problems all over the world, you could cure it. And so he started this program called Cure Violence. And he's working on it here in Chicago, but I think also in New Orleans, and they're rolling it out in other places around the country. And boy, it's just absolutely revolutionary.
And also Zainab Zeb Khan, and is it the Garrity's too?
Sure, yep. Tom and Diane Garrity, who I had breakfast with or coffee with a couple of weeks ago, and they're just sort of amazing, right? Diane Garrity, they're both from Glencoe. She is a professor at Loyola University, and she founded Civitas Child Law Center, which is incredible. And Tom Garrity is a professor of law and director of the Blum Legal Clinic at Northwestern University School of Law. And they've both gone all over the world. They were regaling us with their stories of the people that they've met in the tiniest towns you've never heard of, the poorest places in Africa and in Asia, where they do incredible work on behalf of children. So they work in the U.S. on that, here in Chicago, basing it, and then they go around the world. And Zainab, who I met, she's what we call our next-gen Chicago Humanitarian Award nominee. She's our first one that we've ever given. She's in her 30s. She's an artist, a therapist, and a global human rights activist, and just has, again, done amazing work in the sphere of domestic violence. And so we're honoring these people because, you know, some you've heard of, some you've never heard of, but we watch them at UNICEF every single day and the amazing work they're doing for our women, children, and families here in the United States and abroad. And we thought, hey, let's raise some awareness about this.
That's a good idea. It's a fine event. It's Friday night at the Ritz.
Lunch. Sorry, Friday lunch.
Friday lunch at the Ritz. And if people want more information, where do they go?
You can just send me an email, elise@thinklink.com, or you can go to the website for the event, which is unicefchicagolunch.org.
Well, that's a pretty specific website. How about that for an address?
I know. It's crazy, right? But, you know, or just, like I said, just send me an email or tweet me if you're interested in learning more about it. We call it a fundraiser. It's not about money at this particular event.
It's awareness.
It's about letting everybody know what the good work is.
ThinkGlink.com. All right, Elise, thank you. And we'll watch with you the Fed action today. We'll take a break, come back. It's completely dark in downtown Chicago, probably raining where you are. This too shall pass. We'll come back in a... Oh, boy, the coach is on hold. You know the coach that hates me?
Oh, no, he's back?
Yeah, he's on hold.
Oh, no.
Maybe. We'll get to him before 10 on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
We're going to rebuild our inner cities because our African-American communities are absolutely in the worst shape that they've ever been in before, ever, ever, ever. Vote for Donald Trump. I will fix it. I will fix it. I will bring back your jobs. I will fix your schools. And I will fight for your safety. You'll be safe.
Superfly, Donald Trump. Trump must have been out on slave day in school. African American communities have never had it worse, really? Is that right? Unbelievable. It is 7:41. Chris Freitz does it so we don't have to. He's following this campaign very closely, and afterwards he'll get the appropriate treatment. At Freitz, F-R-A-T-E-S, all over social media. Hi, Chris. How are you?
Hey, man. I'm doing all right. Good to be with you. I look forward to the sanitarium after the election's over.
I just don't know what can be said that hasn't already been said by me or the voices in my head. How do you respond to a statement like African-American communities have never had it worse?
Well, I think African-Americans are responding by reminding him that they have, in fact, had it worse, much, much worse, as you point out. Being someone else's property is much, much worse. However, I thought it was interesting because this all ties back into the birther stuff, right? Like, Trump came from the birther. He was birthed from the birther movement. He started it. This, independent from his falsely claiming that Hillary Clinton started it, he largely started it. He drove it. And, you know, a lot of African-Americans and other people, frankly, in America, thought it was a way of trying to delegitimize our first African-American president. And, you know, it was interesting to watch members of the Congressional Black Caucus last Friday just light Trump up, right? I mean, they just lit him up in a way that was it was a spectacle. I mean, I've not heard those kinds of words. You know, these guys fight all the time, right? They fight back and forth.
Sure.
And, you know, my friend is wrong here. You know, he's not looking out for Americans and blah, blah, blah. No, this was just full out. He's a liar. He's a bigot. He's a racist. And he needs to be stopped. And so that gives you some sense. And the other thing that's interesting, when you watch Trump talk about how, you know, Black Americans should vote for Donald Trump, what you don't see is any Black Americans behind him. You don't see any largely white crowds as well. So I think, you know, people are making up their minds, and certainly, you know, of course there are Black Republicans, there are Black voters out there who will vote for Donald Trump. But if you look at the polling, he's at about 1% with African Americans. That is way below even where, you know, Mitt Romney was. And he's saying, you know, if you elect me as president, by the time I run for a second term, I'll have more African American votes than Barack Obama did, our first Black president. And just as a reminder to your listeners, Barack Obama got somewhere around 94-96% of the Black vote when he ran for re-election. So I find that to be a large claim. So it's just one of those things where you got to kind of fact check it. You got to put it in context when he says these kinds of things. And that's what we try to do to, you know, be useful to people.
Yeah. Chris Freitz at Freitz on social media, and Chris Freitz from CNN. So here's the deal that it's got to come down to. And we say this every year as Election Day approaches, but it really, this is a turnout situation, because Hillary Clinton is a terrible candidate, and her terrible candidacy allows Mr. Trump to stay in this race. But I got to tell you, Chris, and I know you as well, I run into people all the time, and these are people that I respect, and these are people whose opinions I respect, and maybe they're not swimming in the same pools we're swimming in because we have to do this every day, but they just won't even consider a Hillary Clinton vote, or the other option, which is voting for all the down ballot races so you don't ignore the polls entirely. So how much of this race, and there's really no way to quantify it, it's more of a feel, how much of this race is I really don't like Trump, but I can't stand voting for Hillary, because that seems to be the only way he's still in it.
Well, I think, you know, some of those folks are Gary Johnson and Jill Stein supporters, saying, you know what, the two-party system hasn't given us any choices that are useful and worthwhile, so we're going to, you know, look at these third-party candidates. Of course, not enough people have looked at a Gary Johnson to get him at that 15% mark he needs in the polls to be part of the debate, so Americans will only hear from Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. But I think the other thing to point out here is, you know, certainly, you know, Hillary Clinton is not the strongest candidate who's ever run on Democratic side. She hasn't been able to put away Donald Trump, even with the huge amounts of you know, money. We just got the August money numbers in, you know, this yesterday, right? And you had Trump, the RNC, and his PAC raised $70 million. Clinton, the DNC, and her PACs, $112 million. And then if you look at what they spent in August, Clinton and the DNC, $78 million. Trump and the RNC, $47 million. So there you have, you know, a huge disparity in resources, yet, as you point out, she's still not able to put them away. And part of that is also you're seeing Republicans start to coalesce behind Trump. They weren't behind Trump before. You're seeing the bases, kind of as we always do, get behind the nominee. So there was a lot of talk about, well, he's such an unconventional nominee. Will Republicans get behind him? That answer seems to be yes. And because we're polarized as a country, because many Democrats and Republicans just feel like the other side is wrong on so many issues, there is, you know, that is what's keeping Donald Trump in this hunt. The other thing that's interesting is we're seeing more ticket splitters. So people who do support Hillary Clinton or say they're going to vote for Hillary Clinton are also saying more than ever that they're going to vote for Republicans down ballot. We've seen in the past, several decades where ticket splitting has become less and less common.
Right.
And you've seen kind of straight party tickets. Now we're seeing more splitting as people, may choose Hillary Clinton, but stay with the Republicans down ballot in the Senate and House races.
And it's a big deal here with Mark Kirk, but we also have a real world example here of someone who appears to be a big shot in business, who can get anything done he wants, and a guy who I like and support, and Governor Rauner, who gets into a contest with Mike Madigan over will and power. And you know the shape we're in Illinois. The state is ground to a halt. So I even go to the practicality of this. Let's say I'm wrong about everything related to Trump. Well, I know I'm not wrong about this. Everything he's promised he'll get done has to go through Congress. And when he tries to go through Congress on these things, he's going to hit a wall like he's never hit before. So I wish that voters would consider that possibility as well.
You know what, Steve, you bring up a great point here. And, as voters are thinking this through, it's probably not going to change Washington one way or the other, whoever wins, right? Because let's say, unless you get Republicans running the table, they hold the Senate, Donald Trump wins the White House, and by all expectations, the House stays Republican, although they'll probably lose some seats, then you have one team in charge, right? But anything short of that, where Hillary Clinton wins, the Senate stays Republican, and the House stays Republican, you get the same kind of gridlock. If the, even if the Democrats upset and take back the majority in the Senate, the House still stays Republican. So that acts as a check on the Democrats. No matter who wins, the chances that any one party, and it's, at this point it would be the Republicans who have the best chance of running the table here, but they need Trump to win and they need to hold the Senate where the numbers are against them this year, although a lot of Republicans telling me they're feeling a little bit better about their chances of that than they were earlier this summer. It's going to be the same kind of gridlock that we've seen before. I mean, we have a Democratic president now and a Republican Congress, and you see where we are. There's a, Supreme Court nomination that's not being taken up. There's, anything but the bare necessities of funding bills aren't being taken up. So it's,
and that's why why the down ballot races are so vitally important, because Congress affects your life, my life, and everybody listening to us right now, their lives. Every single day, much more than the decisions of the president of the United States. And maybe that's not being taught in civics class anymore, but it's a fact. You need to vote for the people that represent you most directly and decide who you want, because nothing's getting done.
Right. And I would say, say to your listeners, go even deeper than that. Go into your state house races and then go into your city and county races.
Yeah, your school boards.
And your score, that is where it's funny, Steve, because we give so much attention to the presidential race. And, of course, it's important. It's the leader of the free world, and it's an interesting drama to watch unfold. But the people who have the most effect on your day-to-day life, as you say, are the representatives who are closest to you, your school board, your county officials, your city officials, your state officials. As you point out, Illinois, a bit of a mess right now. Well, you should be paying attention to those races just as closely as you are this presidential race. It's a little harder because we in the media don't cover it nearly, one quintillionth of as much as the presidential race. But your point is well taken, and that's why it's important to not kind of say, oh, it's just Congress. Just Congress means, the difference between getting laws done and through and not.
It's Chris Freights. I know you got to run at Freights on social media. He's a good follow. I suggest you do it, FRATES, and see him on CNN. Thanks, Chris.
Hey, thanks, Steve. Take care, man.
All right, see you later. It's 7:55. It's already brightening downtown a little bit. It's a fairly fast-moving, heavy rain situation. It will screw up traffic for the rest of the rush hour. And maybe some thunderstorms popping back up this afternoon. But if you plan on having lunch outside, I think you'll be fine. At 7:55, he's been on hold for a half an hour. That probably hasn't helped his mood any. This is the coach that calls and yells at me.
You've kept him on hold this whole time?
I'm trying to avoid talking to him. Let me go to the coach. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Good morning, Cochran.
How are things?
Oh, they're really good, Cochran. You know how fond I am of you.
Yeah, I know. You're not thrilled with me at all. I'm sorry you're on hold for so long. Dave kept interrupting me when I went to pick up the call.
No, I figured that you were probably outside playing a game of hide and go to hell.
Well, is that what this is going to be again? You're just calling to insult me?
No, it ain't about you. It's about the Bears.
Oh, well, this could be useful then. As an old, you're an old ball coach. I mean, what do you think about these Bears?
Oh, my God, it's ridiculous. I was in practice. The offense was the only one on the field, and Cutler still threw an interception.
I don't even know how that's possible. So this is a team with no hope?
They got nothing. Fox has got to focus. The coach has got to focus. He can't let his mind wander because it's too small to be outside by itself.
Well, what can we hope for? Is there anything to be positive about?
No, I mean, the refs, they got to review every score. The only reason they do it for the Bears is they can't believe it happened.
So they look back to prove it to themselves. All right, well, that's fine. Do you have any hope for this weekend's game? Who are they playing this weekend, Dave?
They're playing the Dallas Cowboys.
That's right. Are they here or there?
They're there on Sunday night.
Oh, Jerry Jones' big building. What do you think of that game, Coach?
Oh, yeah, that'll be a good game. You know what the difference between a Bears and a bucket of crap is?
No.
A bucket!
Wow.
All right.
You know what, Cochran? I broke my vacuum cleaner. I put a Bears jersey on it. Now it sucks again.
Wow. You are in fine form this morning. All right. Well, listen, we're going to be short on time here, but I appreciate your insight on the Bears.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're on a real tight schedule, Cochran. Every 5 minutes, you got to blow more air into your head.
Wow.
Well, he's not wrong. I do have to go and
reinstall. That's true.
Yeah, that's actually accurate. We'll come back, get your news next at 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah. Yeah,
Hollywood. Well, kiss me good. 8:10 now, and let's go live to Dean Richards at Channel 9. Good morning, Dean.
You mean here at Brad and Angelina Central?
Well, a breathless nation awaits. Or is it a sleepless nation is breathless? So anyway, what happened?
Depends on which unnamed source you believe.
Well, I was talking to the famous French actress last night, Marion Cotillard.
Oui.
And she said it didn't happen. And I said, what didn't happen? And then she hung up.
Why were you talking to her?
I don't know. She said, tell Dean.
I want to know what's going on between you and her.
Well, nothing to the best of your knowledge.
Are you the V in La Vie en Rose?
As far as I know. So
here's the deal. Here's what the...
He diddled again, didn't he?
The new it depends what source you believe, because there's contradicting reports. The New York Post, that fine bastion of journalism, is saying that Angelina Jolie hired a private investigator to follow Brad Pitt, discovered that...
In the new plot for Ocean's 14.
Discovered that there was an affair going on with the aforementioned...
Marion Cotillard.
French actress, Oscar winner, Marion Cotillard.
Right.
Interestingly, she is Brad Pitt's co-star in a movie that they have coming up called Allied. You may recall when Mr. Pitt and Ms. Jolie were co-starring in the movie Mr. and Mrs. Jones, when he was then married to Jennifer Aniston.
That's how they hooked up.
Just a little side note.
That's how they got together.
That's what the New York Post says.
Imagine if his co-star was Danny DeVito.
That would be a pretty...
A whole different story.
That's a pretty couple right there.
Yeah.
So TMZ is saying that all of that is not true.
Oh, they are.
TMZ source is saying a third person not involved in this whole thing. They say that the problem was parenting. Angelina disagreed with his kind of parenting, especially because of what they call issues with anger, weed, and alcohol.
Anger, weed, and alcohol?
Right.
Okay, first off, if you're Brad Pitt, which do you want on your resume? I fooled around again, or I'm a violent rageaholic with a weed problem?
Those are the two.
Those are your choices. Pick one.
Those are your leading, unconfirmed rumors from anybody except unnamed sources.
Well, let me just say this, because right, I like Brad Pitt, and I'm often confused for him, as you know.
I do know that.
People will stop me in the street. They say, Brad. I go, no, it's Steve. But the fact of the matter is, if he fooled around at Angelina Jolie, after he fooled around at Jennifer Aniston, he's got to go to the back of the line. He doesn't get to pick anything from the top anymore. Back of the line. Back of the line, Brad. That's what I'm saying.
So Angelina filed the divorce papers. She
you
said,
notice how seriously Dean's taking this story? This is a big day.
It's like,
this is big for me.
Right, go ahead.
This is big for me.
Yeah.
She filed irreconcilable differences. She is asking for physical custody of the children. Mm-hmm. She said that she is going to try to prevent Brad from having co-physical custody of the children, that he can have legal co-custody but not physical co-custody. Brad reports, I haven't actually spoken with either of them personally, reports are saying that Brad Pitt, who, by the way, is denying the anger, weed, and alcohol, all of the rumors.
All three, or just is he denying one of them? Which one is he denying? All three, okay.
He's denying all three.
Okay. Is he denying the Marianne Cotillard?
There has been no comment about it. You know what's really interesting and just a little bit icky? That when the story, when all the rumors about Marianne Cotillard came out yesterday, the studio that is behind their movie,
right,
Allied, suddenly issued, put out the trailer so people can see them together on screen.
Sure.
Which is just, it's like so icky.
It's a Hollywood move, isn't it?
Leave these people alone. So Brad said that he's going to fight for physical custody. He says no way he's going to be denied his children. Both of them yesterday said that they're really only interested in doing whatever is in the best interest of their family. Both of them are asking for privacy at this time. Angelina said that she has nothing else to say.
Privacy? She's spilling the beans on him.
Yeah.
Well, she just filed for divorce.
Yeah,
well,
that's like public
records.
She's
holding a press conference.
Well, can you just say irreconcilable differences? Do you have to put the drugs and everything else in there?
She never did that. Oh. Unnamed sources are
unnamed
the ones.
Well, sources.
I'll tell you, unnamed sources are Marianne Cotillard.
Close to.
Bless you.
Close to the families were saying that. All Angelina
and Marianne Cotillard's attorney, Pepe Le Pew.
Oh, Cherie. Oh, I love you, Cherie.
I've just given you all the French I know.
So all she did was walk into the courtroom, file the papers, and said, leave me alone. That's all either of them pretty much has done.
And she didn't think any gossip would start at all. Sure.
She's doing what she has to do for her family. I can't really fault her.
I'm just mad at her for some reason. I'm just mad.
Why are you mad at her?
Because
mad
I
at
love
him.
Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt is a weed-smoking rageaholic.
Oh, come on. We don't know that.
Allegedly.
And hanging around with Marianne Cotillard.
She's going to be all over the globe like she always is. Who's going to be watching the kids then?
Dean, I have a question. Financially, will they be able to live separately from one another?
I don't know if they're going to be able to scrape by.
Yeah, that's a good point. John makes a good point because
it's very tough.
Yeah, once you split incomes.
Here's the deal. Here's Brad Pitt is said to be worth $350 million.
Right.
You try living on that kind of money.
Yeah, that's
tough.
She's
worth $275 million. They have homes in both the U.S. and in France.
Just based on the last movie they put together, they should both be worth $8.
You mean the one that I picked as the worst movie of last year?
Yeah, it was
one?
Basically the two of them hating each other in a seaside house.
A little bit ironic. A married couple who really don't like each other, a little bit ironic.
But he's still going to have to come over and mow the lawn.
Well, you do what you have to do until you move on. Yeah, without a doubt. Sandberg, you have any thoughts on this?
I do. I'm kind of with Mary here. I hear that Angelina doesn't eat much, guzzles wine, and smokes every day.
And
from where
she's
does this
extremely
information?
Thin.
From
very
where
thin.
Does this information? She's.
I believe PerezHilton.com.
Oh, well, there you go.
Another.
And she kisses her brother.
Well, it's been a long time since she made out with her brother at the Oscars.
That was a long time ago.
And I think Brad won't have any problems getting other women because women...
I don't understand how you guys hate the female in this.
I don't hate her. I just think there's another
but
side
of the story.
But why
do women attack women?
I think there's something else going
on. That's been the case with this whole thing, Steve, since the Jennifer Aniston thing. It was never Brad Pitt's fault.
Let me explain something to you about men. in large degree, we suck. We're not trustworthy. It's not outlandish that we would be out drinking and smoking weed and being bad guys. It doesn't mean it's her fault.
I think
it could be.
I think there's,
but it may not be.
A lot of people saying a lot of things right now that are.
I'd like to hear from Marion Cotillard.
You know who I'd like to hear from?
Pepe Le Pew.
George Clooney, because.
Oh, we have that clip.
So George Clooney, he's at some event last night. He hadn't even heard about any of this.
This is awkward.
And a reporter goes up to him. A reporter with CNN goes up to him.
You want
to
hear it?
And breaks the news to him.
I didn't know that.
Wow.
Files. Well, I feel very sorry then. And that's a sad story and unfortunate for a family. It's an unfortunate story about a family. I feel very sorry to hear that. That's the first I've heard of it.
Yeah, so.
And Clooney's
going. He obviously
going,
couldn't figure out what to say.
Clooney's going, hold on. I held out all those years. I finally get married, and now Pitt's divorced? What?
We were supposed to be on this together.
Believable.
The bro pack. Wait a minute. We had a pack. Was that a Seinfeld
episode? It's a Seinfeld episode. That's right.
Wait a minute. We made a pack.
And part of the summer of George. It all went awry.
That's right. So, you know, the internet, of course, is going crazy with all of this. Here's how serious it is. Last night at Madison Square Garden, Adele dedicated her concert to Brad and Angelina, saying that it's the end of an era. And since most of Adele's songs are about breakup and, you know, sad things and depression.
Yeah, perfect for her.
Really the perfect venue.
Except for Hello.
Hello's kind of an ex-stalker thing.
Yeah, but it's...
Yeah.
On Twitter last night, somebody posted, are we sure this really means divorce? Is it possible that that's the name of the latest kid that they ordered?
Oh, that's, I can't endorse that. That's not even funny.
A business newspaper in England reported the breakup story as London School of Economics lecturer to divorce actor husband.
That's pretty funny.
And
snarky in a very British way.
Huffington Post writer Sam Stein tweeted, it's taking all of Trump's willpower and five additional staffers to stop him from tweeting about Brangelina.
Actually, that's what the Secret Service did last night. They tackled Trump when he tried to tweet on us.
He reached for his phone.
Yeah.
And, of course, late night comedy, you know, had a field day with this last night. Here's a little montage.
Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt are separating. Yeah, it's pretty scary when even Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt are like, eh, I can do better. And you go, no.
All the celebrity gossip magazines are claiming victory. You know, they broke this story. They broke the story every week for the last 11 years, over and over and over again, until finally it came true.
So no more Brangelina? Does that mean this is like, is this a Brexit? Is that what this is? Brexit? Angelivia? What is this? Yeah, but seriously, you guys think you're devastated? Think about how Africans are feeling right now. These two were our only way out. How do you think I got here?
Trevor Noah on the Daily Show last night. And Kimmel and Fallon and everybody talking about these crazy kids.
Have we heard it from, has there been any statement by Gerard Depardieu?
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor.
8:27 Saturday night, Dean. Rocky LaPorte, Pat McGann, John, and I will be at Governor State University. Would you like to join us?
When is that?
Saturday night.
Yeah, I'll check my schedule.
I know you have dinner earlier in the night with Marion Cotillard, but maybe after dinner. And, John, how do we get tickets?
You can go to centertickets.net or call the box office directly at 708-235-2222, an Iceman production.
Now, where is this again?
Governor's State University.
Oh, Governor's State University.
Yeah. So I'm looking at Angelina Jolie's dating history. Timothy Hutton, I didn't know that. Nicolas Cage, I didn't know that. Colin Farrell, I guess I heard that at some point. And then married to Billy Bob Thornton, and then she had a fling with a couple of ladies. So she stays active. She has in the past.
Well, she's got six kids now, though.
Yeah, they're going to be fine. They're all going to be fine. What's the Hamilton story?
They announced yesterday that they're going to do a day of lottery ticket sales here. 44 tickets for each day of the performance that Hamilton is here in Chicago. $10 tickets, but you have to go to their website and sign up for it. It's BroadwayInChicago.com/Hamilton Lottery. You have to sign up on the day of the performance. So, in other words, you can't go on today and sign up for it. But Tuesday, when the show officially opens here, Tuesday morning you can go on, put your name in, and if you're lucky, you'll, you know, maybe you'll get one of the 44 tickets.
But is it a single or a pair, or what do you get?
I think it's single. I'm pretty sure that it's single because there's so few tickets.
Hmm.
Here, and their seating is, you know, all over the theater. It's not behind, you know, not necessarily behind pillows.
So these are odd spots. In other words, these are like, I got three and I got one left on the aisle, or those type of things.
They say that some of the seats will be in the front row, some will be in the box seats.
Okay,
it's going to be all over the theater. But it's BroadwayInChicago.com/Hamilton Lottery. They did this in New York. Same thing. They still do it in New York.
Nice opportunity.
It's a nice opportunity for last minute tickets. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to be talking live with Hamilton creator and its Tony Award-winning star, Lin-Manuel Miranda. We're going to talk with him live on the WGN-TV Midday News.
He's been rumored to be the reason that Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie broke up.
Well, I think he's got some French blood in him.
Yes, he does.
That's mighty intoxicating.
Yeah, no question about it. Yeah.
Going to be talking with him live on WGN tomorrow morning at 11:10. We'll play some highlights for you here on Friday morning.
I've been told that Angelina Jolie may be involved with the guys from Walter E. Smith Furniture. Maybe all three of the brothers. We don't know.
They are also very intoxicating.
Yes, they are.
Nothing like a sense of humor.
So, all right, Dean, good information. And the least of parts you brought up were factual. The parts I brought up, of course, may or may not have been made up.
Much juicier. Who needs facts when you've got humor? Never let the facts get in the way of a good time.
I don't know why you paused before you said humor. All right, I'll talk to you
And
later.
If you're counting 27 French references in the first segment alone.
I didn't even say baguette.
What'd you call me?
Schaumburg, next stop on the WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour. We're there tomorrow. It's presented by Allstate. It's a live broadcast at the Trickster Art Gallery in Schaumburg. And, 2016 Chicago Blackhawks Training Camp Festival tickets. We got Lou Malnati's Pizza. Denny Savard's going to come by. It'll speak to a representative from there about some amazing Native American artworks that you can see at the museum. It's the Allstate Hometown Voices Tour at Schaumburg Trickster Art Gallery tomorrow. More details on the events page at WGNradio.com. Big story is next.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
My daughter, Catherine, she's back from college. She's different.
Cat?
The way she talks, the way she looks at me. It's not depression. I know depression. There are things going on in the house. In my house, there are voices inside the walls. I am not a crazy person.
I'm not saying you're crazy.
There is something inside my house. It's a demon.
A demon?
And it's trying to take my daughter.
Oh, God! Oh, my God!
That's funny. What? It's the new Exorcist, the TV series, premiering Friday night, 9 o'clock Chicago time on Fox. And Gina Davis will, she's scheduled to appear here in the next few minutes. And we'll talk to Gina Davis about The Exorcist. You know, I never saw the whole movie, The Exorcist.
I Were You Too Afraid?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. How old were you? Oh, you were about my age.
Oh, we're the same age, yeah.
So we 70, saw it when we were like 12 or something, weren't
we? Yeah, 12, 13, 14.
Oh, my gosh, it scared me to death. It was so awful. And I had to have a sleepover at my girlfriend's house that night.
I don't like horror movies.
Yeah. I had to have a sleepover at my girlfriend's that night, and she had taken us, the mom had taken us to the movie. And we were trying to go to sleep, and the mom kept scaring us, saying, Reagan.
Well, that's hilarious.
And I'm like,
thanks, Mom.
Yeah, I was tormented for Creepshow. She was also one of my teachers, by the way.
Oh, really?
Oh, it was fantastic.
I didn't like The Exorcist. You know, Hitchcock was great, right? I didn't like any of the Hitchcock movies. And I never like movies where kids are in jeopardy. And I know it's just a movie, but it's hard for me to watch those.
I think
how's this for a plug for Gina Davis's series?
I think
I'm not going to watch it.
Nick is doing movie night with The Exorcist, isn't he?
I believe that's right.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. That's
so you could go then.
Halloween spectacular. Yeah, I don't see that happening.
No.
Well, we wait for Gina Davis, another thing that may or may not live up to the hype, not the Gina Davis interview, but tonight's Kiefer Sutherland series premiere, where he plays kind of a nerdy member of a cabinet that's about to resign from the government, who is the odd man out for the State of the Union speech when everyone else is killed at the Capitol, and he therefore becomes the last man standing and the President of the United States. And things roll out from there. The concern with this series is that it's going to remind too many people of 24, mm-hmm. even though it's a very different character. And we'll see if it plays out as a hit. I know they're promoting it. Like, every break they promote it.
And halftime of the Bears game the other night.
Yeah, well, nobody saw that. By halftime, I'm sure everybody was gone.
Oh.
But that premieres tonight as well. A couple of show business notes. $8.50 now. All right, I'm a little disappointed. Gina Davis will not be joining us. Something personal came up.
What did you do to her?
I didn't do anything to her. The booker said something personal came up. So standing in for Gina Davis will be John DeCoste, who will be playing the role of Gina Davis for the interview that we would have had. Good morning, Gina. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Nice to have you on the show. Sounds like you might be fighting a cold.
Yeah, I'm a little sick, a little under the weather. I'm in town for the big Beetlejuice convention, and I want to see. I think I'm gonna have my temp's like 102.
Did you know you were on the show to promote The Exorcist on Fox, your new series?
I was gonna do that, but I figured some other people are doing that, so I would. You know, I'm doing League of Their Own, the musical, in about a month.
Okay, good. So, all right, I will give you one of your roles. You give me the first thing that comes to mind, okay?
Sure, yeah,
Quick change with Bill Murray.
Groundhog Day.
Because you like that movie?
No, is this a test?
No. Tootsie. Tootsie, you had a small role in Tootsie. First thought that comes to mind.
Role.
Tootsie role. In Fletch, you played Chevy Chase's assistant, Larry.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. First thing that comes to my head.
Yeah.
That was it. That statement I just made.
See? The Fly, where you, I believe, met your future husband, Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah. That was, thank God, The Fly only lives, like, for 24 hours.
And was Jeff Goldblum a good kisser?
Oh, yeah. No question. Especially when he was... as the Fly.
Mm. Thelma and Louise with your I think your friend of this day, Susan Sarandon.
Yeah, we still go off the cliff every 2 years. We have a reunion and fly off the cliff.
Excellent.
Yeah.
What about A League of Their Own, which is shot right here in Chicago?
Yeah, Rosie O'Donnell and I are very tight. We're very good friends. Madonna, I haven't spoken to since she hit me with a baseball.
All right. And Accidental Tourist, where you won your Oscar.
Oh, that wasn't me.
What do you mean it wasn't you?
No, that was they had a stand-in. She was a lot shorter. The girl they had play that part was 6'1". I'm 6'8".
Okay, so it wasn't you that actually won the Oscar?
Yeah, I didn't know how to. I had to go up and get the Oscar, but I'm like, it's not me. And they're like, no, just do it. I'm like,
sounds like the whole thing's an accident. And finally, yeah. You almost made the Olympics as an archer.
That's absolutely true. Yeah, that's absolutely true. I was the superhero, the archer.
Don't even know what that is. It's Gina Davis. I really appreciate you being here, Gina, and thank you for being on the show, and I hope whatever personal issues you're having clear up soon.
No, don't worry about it. WPN is my favorite radio station.
Tremendous. It's really helpful. It's Gina Davis. John DeCoste is Gina Davis. Can I tell you something about Hollywood, Dave?
Yes. What about Hollywood?
When a star doesn't show up for an interview, it's almost always the booker's fault. And in this case, the booker is notoriously inconsistent. This individual who provides guests at different times for this show and many other shows.
Mm-hmm.
And Gina Davis was booked on the show and confirmed to be on the show. And I certainly hope she didn't have anything personal come up. I hope the booker did screw up. And I hope she's okay. But, you know, it's like, well, I'll give you Ryan Dempster as an example. When Ryan Dempster missed a couple of hits on the show, he felt badly about it. What did he do? He came in here.
Right.
And he was great.
Spent an hour with us.
He was tremendous.
Yes.
Because he's a good guy. If Gina Davis comes in here with her bow and arrow, then I will not be annoyed with this booker who had originally confirmed this.
Do you really think the interview with Gina Davis would have been any better than John playing Gina?
Boy, I hope so. It's 8:54. Let's do this. We'll take a break coming up. The great Rocky Laporte is actually here. Fought his way through traffic, and he'll join us in a little bit. Also, after 9, it's week 3 of the Wang Dang Doodle.
Yes.
We will make our picks coming up shortly on 720 WGN. Again, the Wintrust Community Banks folks, thank you for sponsoring the 8 o'clock hour, the Steve Cochran Show. A couple of pieces of sound we didn't think we'd have time to get to. Kellyanne Conway, Trump campaign manager. She was talking about the story that came up yesterday, which has been a little bit buried, but it's a significant story, especially when you consider the shenanigans that may have been going on with the Clinton Global Initiative Foundation. And if you're going to look at the Clinton Global Initiative Foundation, even though Donald Trump doesn't own a pot or a kettle, you could tell, Donald Trump's foundation is now being investigated heavily after another Washington Post story. This one indicating that he may have taken as much as $260,000 charitably donated to his foundation and used it to pay off one of the lawsuits that were filed against him. Here's Kellyanne Conway when confronted with that.
Kellyanne, the point, though, is the Trump Foundation, and if this was settling a lawsuit that enabled Donald Trump's business to benefit, whether it be Mar-a-Lago or a golf course, that would possibly then be self-dealing.
How did his golf course benefit from him redirecting monies that mistakenly came to the Trump Foundation? He redirected them to someone else's private foundation based on a hole-in-one contest. They were misdirected to his foundation. I'm told by his accountants and attorneys they went to the right foundation after that. How in the world did his business benefit from that? How did Mar-a-Lago benefit from him giving $100,000 to veterans? The veterans benefited, and I think that's great. I applaud him for doing that. All
well,
he wanted
business,
to do was
course,
fly
benefited
the American
by the
flag
lawsuit going
higher.
Away and being settled, right? That would be how the business benefited.
Well, there are many lawsuits every day against people. I think that's a bridge too far. I think you're making things up.
She's not making it up. It's factually based. The Washington Post did the homework on this. They did the legwork on this. Donald Trump took $260,000 from his foundation, paid somebody off, regardless of how many times the money was laundered, paid somebody off that eventually made the lawsuit go away. I mean, that's it. It's not biased reporting. It's not Donald Trump being picked on, which, by the way, is his go-to move. The Trump campaign ripping the, quote, biased Washington Post reporter who's been investigating the Trump Foundation. Of course, it's not biased when the Clinton investigations are on. It's only biased when the Trump investigations are on. Remember, in Trump's mind, everything's rigged and nothing's fair unless it's he calling it out on someone else. And Kellyanne Conway, apparently another tragic case of a house with no mirrors, because I don't know how you look yourself in the mirror and defend this clown every day. Same thing goes for Hillary Clinton, by the way. Every time I see one of the Hillary Clinton surrogates on talking about how, oh, I can't believe you're asking about the emails. I can't believe you're asking about the foundation. Well, we're asking about it because it's relevant. Cleansing breath. It's 9 o'clock. Rocky Laporte's coming up here in a little bit. We'll get you the news here in just a second. You got another clip of Rocky to make me feel better? All right. Well, give me a little bit of Rocky. It'll be Saturday night. It'll join me at Governor State for stand-up comedy. We hope he can make it. We'll tell you and get tickets here in just a few minutes. Here's Rock.
I had to go to the doctor the other day. He goes, how's your hearing? What does he care for? We're filling out those. You ever fill out those forms? They go, who should we notify in case of an emergency? I'm like, how about the doctor? How about that, huh? Notify an ambulance. That'd be nice. And they go, no, we mean like your parents. What the hell are my parents going to do? Look at Mrs. Laporte. Your son's been in a horrible accident. She's like, well, give him ice cream. He likes ice cream. And he gives me a prescription. It says may cause vomiting, dizziness, and chest pains. Then it said, if it becomes bothersome. How could all that be bothersome? I like when I'm dizzy. It keeps my mind off the fact that I'm vomiting and having chest pains. It's a good thing I kept reading it, too, because it said, take orally. I know, I was like, whew. I just saved myself a whole lot of trouble.
A whole lot of trouble.
John, how do we get tickets for Saturday night?
You can call the box office directly at Governor State University. Call the box office at 708-235-2222 or go online to centertickets.net. That is Saturday at 7 o'clock at Governor State.
And Iceman Production.
Correct. Whoa,
just follow along. The next Steve Cochran stand-up show will be at Governor State University. So what should you do? Go online or you can call too. This way you all avoid the longest line.
Uh-huh, how about that? We're all done. John DeCosta's son, Christopher.
Great job.
This kid's got to get real work. 9:13, our friend Rocky Laporte joins us. Hi, Rock.
Hey, buddy. What you doing?
How you been?
I'm good, man.
Anything new?
Yeah, I was going to... I'm dating Angelina Jolie.
Oh, wow. That. I did not see that coming.
Yeah. And
I didn't even know she was available.
We.
I love when Rock makes himself laugh.
That's all the French I know. That and I love their fries.
Yeah, they're tremendous. So,
that's it.
Are you eating okay?
Yeah, I'm doing good. And, you know, I joined a gym. I like when you join a gym, they go, hey, it's only $30 a month. You know, I'm like, who's going to work out for a whole month? You know? It's like, how much is it for like 20 minutes?
Because that's all the time you have right now.
Yeah, I got things to do. And then when you join me, I always go, what are your goals? And I go, I like to be able to button my pants. That would be good without asking strangers for help.
How's that normally work out for you? I mean, you're stopping people on the street, you leave the house with them unbuttoned?
Well, no, like, you know, you're in the airport, you get running late for a flight. Hey, buddy, you know, man.
Got a second here?
Yeah.
How are the kids?
Everybody's good right now, you know.
You got all their names?
Yeah, you know, I got them here somewhere.
Right.
They're all good. And the grandkids are good. And we took, I don't know if I told you this, maybe I shouldn't. I took two of the grandkids to the Museum of Science and Industry.
Right. Oh, you did? Well, that's nice.
And it was packed. It was
sure.
Don't take them on a school day, you know? So, no, it was actually the head off. I forgot what
I was going to say. I was going to say, you take them on a school day, like, probably fairly empty.
It was like a Columbus Day or something like that, and yeah. And it's packed.
Yeah, wall to wall.
Yeah, so I go, don't go nowhere. There's two of them, right?
Yeah.
So as soon as I said that, they take off in opposite directions.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I'm like, now I got to make a decision, you know, like which... Who's got the most potential here? I got to come home. You know what I mean?
If I'm only bringing one home.
I can't bring the dumb one home. You know? So I know you're not supposed to think like this.
No.
But I go, I'm going to chase the skinny one because we could always catch up with the chubby one. And I knew right. I knew the chubby guy was probably heading towards the pretzels, like towards the food court.
Right.
So it all worked out okay.
Oh, that's a sweet story.
I saved them both. And
it's really a sweet
came
story.
Came home with both the kids.
Did you learn anything at the museum?
Hang on to the kids. I don't know. I can see why those people put them in harnesses now. Right. You know what I mean?
Yes. Was it like that when you were a kid? Did your dad ever harness you?
No, man. I was like, I go out on Friday and they're like, just be home Monday for school. You know? I was like in third grade. Like, all right.
Were you an athlete when you were a kid?
Yeah, like I played. I boxed in the ring for a while. You know,
against someone?
Huh?
Against someone? Yeah. Yeah, there's someone else in the ring.
I had eight fights. I was 0-11. They gave me credits for fights I didn't even lose yet.
So it wasn't your best skill.
You know how a lot of fighters have to have like a nickname?
Yeah, what
you
was know? Yours?
Mine was The Artist because I spent so much time on the campus. These are jokes.
Yeah, hey. Rocky and I and John DeCoste and Pat McGann. We're all going to be at Governor's State on Saturday night. And that'll be fun. You ever play that room?
No, I haven't.
It's a good theater.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's
I'm excited about playing it, man.
Yeah. A lot of people don't know that you'll be doing the traditional magic act that you do as well with props.
I got tigers now. I got these two white tigers. It's going to be...
Oh, good.
Yeah. Hey, I need you to help me, John.
Speaking of tigers, you were telling me a while ago about the zoo. Now,
oh, man.
You were telling me, but there's a zoo. I think you told me there was a zoo in Vegas.
Oh, it's awful. I swear to God, I've never seen a zoo that bad. Have you ever?
I've never been to the Vegas Zoo.
First of all, they got like, there's like four birds and a squirrel. I swear to God, they don't even have good animals. There's like a lizard or something ran by. I'm like, what's that? The guy goes, that's not ours. I swear to God, it's a true story.
I know it is. You wouldn't make it up.
You listening to this, Mary?
It's not ours.
Do you have a favorite animal? An animal you really like?
I think my favorite is probably like shrimp. I love shrimp.
Who wouldn't?
Yeah.
Shrimp are great. Yeah. Can you hang around a second?
Yeah, absolutely. I like
well, what's the rest of your day? You got
it
big
took
plans
me,
for the day?
3 days to get here.
Yeah.
I left Monday. Now I got to get home. The ejector pump in the basement's going bad, so I got to meet a plumber. I got to go back there, and he's got to fix it for...
Are you handy at all?
Floods. I'm all right, you know.
What can you fix around the house?
Pasta.
toast. You're good at toast.
I'm good with toast.
Toast is
good. Got to be able to grill
One
cheese.
Time I made toast that had bones in it. How did that happen? What kind of bread was I using?
9:18. We're back in a moment. More with my friend Rocky Laporte. Saturday night, Governor's State. It's an Iceman production. We'll see you there, 7 o'clock show. This is 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
That's a lovely and talented Anna DeVellantis. She's on every afternoon with Ro Khan, including today at 3 o'clock. Rocky Laporte's here. John DeCoste is here. Rocky dancing up a storm. Were you a club guy? Were you a dancing guy?
Yeah.
You take a girl out dancing?
Yeah, back in the day when the disco was big, you know what I mean?
Did you have a leisure suit?
Yeah, everybody did, you know.
Still got it?
As a matter of fact, I'm wearing it Saturday. Huh? Ladies?
Ladies?
How is the social life these days?
It's pretty good, you know. It's weird dating at my age with the, you know, the bigger stomach and the receding hairline, but
right.
These are the kind of women I'm meeting. So there's that.
Do you have an opening line? Do you have something that you say?
Hey, toots. They like toots.
They seem
that's
to like
respectful.
Them. Yeah, they
it's
seem
kind
to
of different.
Like,
yes.
Yeah. Yes. And what do you like to do on a date?
I just, you know, get them hammered. No. Just, have a nice time.
Nice dinner,
you know?
Rock? Don't you take them out for a nice dinner?
Yeah, okay. We okay. Do that.
It's an idea.
It's an idea. What kind of movie would you take them to?
Oh, like a romantic comedy.
Like what?
How about that?
I don't believe it.
Like, that's good.
Jaws? Godfather?
Jaws 3 was good.
The Godfather. Godfather.
Make him cry.
Yeah, Godfather's fun.
Hey, actually, I joined that Ancestry.com.
Oh, you trying to find your roots?
Yeah, they traced it all the way back to Bridgeport, my grandma's basement. And
wow.
It said some of my family came over on a boat from Taylor Street.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's worth $150.
I had no idea. Yeah. Do you spend a lot of time online?
A little bit. I try to, you know, go on.
You looking
there.
Stuff up?
Yeah, you know, I was trying to do the online dating there for a while.
Right.
And here's a tip. For your listeners out there, guys, you ever meet somebody online named Kim? Make sure it's not a 45-year-old Korean guy. That's my tip for you kids today.
Well, I hope they're writing that down. I hope they're making a note of that.
I'm here to help, Stevie.
Yeah, I know you are. And you're still traveling all the time.
Yeah.
How about that last Comic Standing experience? Was that fun?
I was okay. You know, it was like we were on a bus with a broken toilet for 3 months, so... If that's your idea of fun, that's what it was.
Well, it must have been a slow week if that's your idea of fun.
Yeah.
But a reality show is a reality show, right? Even if it's disguised as a competition?
Yeah, it helped a lot. You know, it was just, you know, you hated competing against your friends and stuff like that. You know, like they were trying to
But you didn't really like any of those other people, did
no,
you?
No, you know, there was a couple. That Joe Mackey was a good guy, and Lachlan, and but they pit you against your buddies, you know, and that wasn't fun, you know.
See, your producers come in and try to tell you this is, you know, something's up with the other guy, and try to get you upset.
Or they got to go. You got to go up there and say I am funnier than this guy. You know, and like,
well, oh, it's that specific.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not what you do.
No. You got to call people out, you know, and that's not good, you know.
Right. Although I'm a lot funnier than Rocky.
There's that.
Yeah. I mean,
what about your role on General Hospital? That was good because you played the love interest to one of the doctors. Did you see that, John? He was tremendous.
When was that?
I don't know. I played the body going in. They had me in a body bag.
Oh, no, that was you. That was you. You had a Super Bowl football.
Are you watching much TV?
A little bit.
It's pretty terrible.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of good stuff on. I think a lot of people, because I was on Last Comic, they think they think you got a lot of money for some reason.
Yeah.
So this guy goes, "Hey, Ryan," he goes, "Where are you staying?" I go, "I'm over at the Altima." He goes, "Is that a 4-star?" I go, "It's a 4-cylinder." Sleeping in my car. But you know what? I was supposed to be doing a Tonight Show this Friday.
Yeah, they just moved you, right? They moved you in October?
They moved me, yeah. So I'm back in the car.
But you got bumped for what? One of the presidential candidates or a really big guest?
Well, yeah, you know, they're having the winners of America's Got Talent on, you know, so good for them. And then they'll put me on, they're going to give me another date in October, so that'll be good.
You got booted from the 12-year-old girl that won America's Got Talent.
Yeah, 12-year-old
girl. The ukulele player.
Damn her. Is that really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Now, when you say they're going to give you another date in October, you know the show's on every night. They don't need to tell you what date it's on. Or they're going to give you a date when you're going to be on.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I was confused. Yeah. Do you know Jimmy Fallon?
Yeah, you know what? You know what's so funny? I can't wait to tell him this. We did a gig. He opened for me about 20 years ago.
Sure, I believe that. Yeah.
And it was kind of like a rough bar in Riverside, California. And he comes in with
like a biker bar?
Yeah, it was kind of like a little bit of...
What did he do back then?
I'm like, they're going to kill this
right?
kid. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he came in with his guitar. Yeah, and I'm like, oh, they're going to murder this poor guy. But he won him over. He was real cute, and he's just doing, you know, Bob Dylan and a couple other impressions. And I was like, wow.
He ended up dating one of the guys on the Harley.
He'll remember that. I bet you'll remember that.
Oh, I'm sure he'll remember because he's probably scared to death.
Yeah, people usually you remember your, you know.
You know, and Rocky and I go back, I don't know, we go back to the mid-80s, I think is when we first met. And I had been doing comedy a while before Rocky started. But here's a kind of a cool thing. A few years ago, like 2010, he calls me up and goes, "Hey, I'm doing the warm-up for the Rosie show, and I don't like it. So could you do it?"
This is when Rosie O'Donnell had her talk show over at Harpo.
She had taken up Harpo Studios.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, okay, because I had done it for Jenny Jones, for Oprah and the other ones. Boom. Yeah. And that didn't last that long, but it was great. It was great. So he just hands it to me.
No, listen.
Just hands it to me. How great is that?
I like you, buddy.
I'll get your football.
And you two certainly can speak to this more than I can, but there are a lot of people in stand-up comedy who are, you know, people you'd cross the street to avoid. But it's got this overall image that everybody's crazy and everybody's dark. It's just not true. There's a lot of great people on the road. They write jokes together. They help each other out. They go, this isn't going to work for my act or something that might work for you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You know how I actually got that gig that... I was doing a gig like about 15 years before that in New York with Tom Agnew.
Yes, from Ohio.
He ended up being a writer on that show.
Correct.
Well, he remembered me. I guess he was kind of starting out and he was a little nervous. And, you know, I'm like, hey, you know, I kind of took him under.
Right.
Take it easy, you know, to work out. And, you know, I kind of talked him down.
Right.
So he remembered that. And then that's how.
Isn't that amazing?
Paying it forward.
Yeah. And then, you know, what else I heard? Like for the Tonight Show, the guy that's booking it now. I used to be with APA. It was an agency when I was in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's a big agency.
Yeah, and this guy was the assistant to the head guy at the time. And he told my manager, he goes, you know what? He goes, I'm going to try and push this through. Rocky was always nice to me.
How about that?
When I moved. Yeah. That was like a nice
You're nice thing. To people. Maybe they're nice to you later.
Yeah.
Boy, that does not bode well for me.
No.
Not good for me. Well, Rock, we're looking forward to Saturday night. You gonna need any comps? You got any family members coming out?
Yeah, I got a couple of people. You know, I think a couple of my kids want to come.
Oh, they do.
Okay,
yeah, because it's South Side, right?
Yeah,
it's a lot of people. Yeah, you need your standard 100. You usually have 100, and everybody's name ends in a vowel.
Hey, come on, what are you saying?
But it'll be great.
What does this mean?
And people, and you're a nice guy. People love to meet you. Will you hang around and meet?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And if they need you to like follow them to their car, you'll do that as well.
Yeah, come on. Then I just don't want to get in and go, hey, go start my car.
Remind you of when you were an intern.
No.
It's Rocky Laporte. And Rock, do you have a website or something?
Yeah, yeah. It's RockyLaporte.com.
And how do you spell Rocky Laporte?
Oh, man, this is, come on. It's R-O-C-K-Y. And Laporte, like Laporte, Indiana.
L-A-P-O-R-T-E.
E, yeah, there's an E at the end.
Yeah, .com.
And you can find me on MySpace.
Yeah. And good luck to you and Angelina Jolie. I hope that works out for you.
Thanks, buddy.
The Steve Cochran Show.
I used to be able to throw a pigskin quarter mile.
The Wang Dang Doodle.
Are you serious?
Yep. It's happening again.
The Steve Cochran Show. Time for the Wang Dang Doodle. In a stunning upset last week, the Don't Care team beat the Do Cares.
Yes.
And beat us handily. So congratulations to Captain Mary Vanderbilt on your Don't Care team's win. The Don't Care team concludes John DeCosse.
And my whole team is here today.
Steve Grzanich. And is Bennett on your team?
Yes. And Mary.
And Mary.
Mary Sandberg. Sandberg. Boyle.
Sandberg and Bennett Wayne.
So it's the double Marys and...
Steve, now, Andrea is in Greece, but she actually sent her picks in. Is that accurate?
She sent her picks, but she's picking fifth, so I don't know if I can use her picks because you may choose.
Right. Somebody else could pick her picks.
Yeah. And she sent them to everybody, so we all know who she picked. So if we go first.
We should have kept Rocky here. He could have picked for her.
I'll tell you what. I'll pick for her if her pick is taken. Okay. All right. As usual, the Do Cares pick first because the Don't Cares don't care. But before we do that,
it's not fair.
My mom is standing by. She's a member of the Do Care team. And, of course, she has a special introduction.
Oh, God, big baby.
That's mommy.
What an embarrassment. Embarrassment. Embarrassment.
In a world of major market morning radio, one woman struck fear.
Big baby.
In the hearts of jovial radio talent.
Baby.
It's Steve's mom.
Tina! Bring me the axe!
You've been warned.
Hi, Mommy!
You really enjoy that, don't you?
Yeah, I kind of do. It's pretty entertaining. How are you, Mom?
How are you on this smarmy old morning?
You know, it's not a great day outside, but it's brightening up now. And as your mood should brighten, is your mood okay today?
Well, it was not good until I heard The Rock. But that Rocky, I'm telling you, he is brilliant.
Yes, he is. Why wouldn't?
What did you feel like sitting between Rocky and John DeCosse? Did you still think you were funny?
I felt like it. I felt like a very odd, sort of emotionally damaged Oreo.
Yeah.
I was the cream filling. Yeah, no, I didn't think I was. Listen, I have never in my life thought, looked at Rocky and thought, well, I'm funnier than Rocky. However, I have with John. And
you know, you always abuse the ones you love, and I'm a testament to that.
Oh, stop it already. Are you ready to make your picks?
Yep.
Okay, well, you don't go first. Let's go to Sandberg on this. Who goes first on the Do Care team?
Your team captain, Dave Ennett.
Dave Ennett. Captain Ennett.
Pick
first, Captain Ennett.
I will pick first. My quarterback will be Drew Brees of the New Orleans Saints.
Good call.
Figures.
And okay. Sorry.
He's the number one quarterback this week.
And
I was going to pick him.
I was. Thank you. Mary, number two.
And my game will be Seattle over San Francisco.
And what's the score?
Oh, I forget to pick a score. That score is going to be 24-16.
I love when Dave turns into the pretty blonde.
Oh, I forgot.
All right, who's picking next?
I'm sorry. Mike Jacobson.
Jake, what do you got?
I'm going to go with Jameis Winston as my quarterback.
Terrible person.
Yes, but good fantasy numbers
old
for this
crab
week.
Pants.
And Chiefs and Jets. And I'm going to go Chiefs 21-13.
Chiefs 21-13. Who's picking next?
Cochran.
As in me?
Yes.
All right, then. I'm going to go with Ryan Tannehill from the Miami Dolphins.
He's cute.
Yeah, that's why I picked him. The Dolphins are hosting Cleveland, the worst team in professional football by a smidge over the Bears. I will pick the Bears score, however. The Bears 9, Dallas 31. 31-9 Cowboys over the Bears.
Wait, so you picked the Dolphins as your win?
No. Pick Tannehill as my quarterback.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right. So you're taking the Bears.
Yeah, the Dallas 31, Bears 9.
Okay.
Yeah. Who's next? On the Do Care team.
Ann.
Hi, Mom.
Hello.
Okay. Who are you picking?
Matt Ryan from Atlanta.
Well, hold on a second. Against your beloved New Orleans Saints?
I'm just picking the quarterback. I'm not picking a game.
Oh, okay, sure.
I don't even understand the rules of this. It's very sad.
And the score in what game?
I am picking Green Bay over Detroit.
Okay.
17-14.
Yeah, close game. Well, that whistle signifies a quick break in the action. Was that our last pick?
Andrea. And
oh,
so
that's right.
Her quarterback that she picked is still available, so she can have Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
And then she picked Cowboys-Bears.
All right, so she can't pick that game, so I will pick for her. Cincinnati 26, Denver 14.
26-14. Okay.
All right, then. Now we move on to the don't cares. Who's picking first on the don't care team?
Well, Steve Grzanich, and I don't see him at his post, so maybe you want to go ahead and take the break.
Oh, he's doing an interview with somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Will he be back in time?
I'm not sure. Ryan Burrow in sports.
Yeah, Ryan. Ryan did the picks last week.
Ryan,
for him
are you
going to
pick
anyway?
For Grzanich?
What are you talking about here?
All right, yeah. Ryan, pick for Grzanich.
Come on, Ryan.
Go ahead, Ryan.
Grzanich will go with Andy Dalton as his quarterback.
Andy Dalton, the redhead from Cincinnati.
Falcons over the Saints, 28-24.
Oh boy, Mom, did you hear that? He picked against your Saints.
I know, but they haven't been doing very well. I mean,
great. Well, it seems awfully generous of you. Who's next on the don't cares?
Bennett, who obviously doesn't understand live radio. Oh, he left
Bennett.
The room.
The team is fitting their names, aren't
he doesn't
they?
Care.
Bennett is alternately like completely normal and great, and then he turns into a millennial, like with no notice whatsoever. It's a sense of urgency of I don't know what. Does that mic work?
Did you guys call me?
Yeah. Hey, how you doing?
Oh, hi.
Who's your quarterback?
I was eating a muffin in the other room.
Yeah.
My quarterback, we will go with Russell Wilson. I believe he's still available.
Yes, he is.
Cool.
Seattle Supersonics.
And yeah, they're still a team, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay. And let's go with the Thursday night game, Texans over Patriots.
Score? Take your time. We're on till 10.
14-7.
Okay.
He asked me in the other room, how many games are tomorrow night?
Yeah, there's just one. That's why you're on the don't care team. Third pick on the don't care team.
I won't be watching that game, by the way.
Are we up to Captain Vandeveld?
We are on...
Gee, when do I get to pick?
DeCoste. DeCoste first.
Not even ready yet. Just give me like 4 minutes.
Why do I feel like a ventriloquist?
Well, for two reasons. One, because Jake is your subconscious, and two, because he's on your lap. John, your pick.
I will be doing my picks as an homage to Rocky.
All right, who's your quarterback,
Rocky? My quarterback is Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, sure. Good Italian kid.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
he likes the sex. Okay.
And then I'm picking
San Diego will beat Indianapolis 24-17.
San Diego over Indianapolis 24-17. Are we going to Mary and her subconscious?
Yes, Mary.
I said I need 2 more minutes.
All right, Mary, what do you have?
I'm going with Andrew Luck.
Mary, by the way, is the Ryan Lochte of the Wang Dang Doodle.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Ryan Luck.
I don't appreciate that.
I believe it's Andrew Luck. Isn't it Andrew Luck?
Oh, Andrew. I didn't say Ryan. You did. Andrew Luck. And Washington over the Giants. Did anybody pick that game?
Nope.
No. Okay. 28-14.
All right. And that brings us.
The Giants will probably win. So, you know, I don't even know if I want that pick.
Full circle.
Give me about. Okay.
Full circle. You can't tell your subconscious to be quiet. Full circle to Sandberg here.
I'm going to take Cam Newton since Jimmy Garoppolo was injured and I had him the first 2 weeks.
And the main reason you picked Jimmy Garoppolo?
Because he's good looking, but Cam Newton is also good looking.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going
to... A lot of science here on the Wang Dang Doodle.
Do I need to point out who came in first, second, and third?
No.
Last week? And I'm going to take that game. I'm going to take the Panthers over the Vikings. And I'm going to say it is 28-14.
28-14, Panthers over the Vikings. All right, all of these picks are locked in.
Yep.
We have week two locked in. We should probably do a listener. We guys take a listener off the air and give them some prizes and just let them play to see if they can rub it in as well. 312-981-7200 is the number. It shouldn't take more than 30 minutes to explain the scoring. Yes. Mom, when I saw my mother on Sunday, she yelled at me and she said, "How does the scoring in this stupid game work?" And she threw something at me. All right, Mom, any final thoughts from you? Mom?
Yes.
Mom?
I'm catatonic. I can't even, just listening to this, I can't believe I'm a part of it. Right. I thought I was so much better than that.
All right, now be honest. The reason you didn't respond is because Steve Harvey's calling you on the other line, isn't he? Isn't he? Yeah, that's what I love. All right, love you, Mom.
I love you, too. Thanks for the giggles.
All right, bye-bye. There you go. That's my mom. You guys could have chimed in. Don't you love my mom?
I do.
I keep thinking she's on my team for some reason.
Yeah. It feels like she likes us better.
I know. I think she does.
I just say cool beans.
It's 9:51. Here's the problem. Once you start doing the Rocky impression,
it's
you
over.
Can't stop.
It's over. I know.
It's 9:51. Bill and Wendy coming up at 10 on 720 WGN.